Welcome to the FBCLB podcast, where you'll find the preaching of Dave Delaney, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Long Beach. Thanks for listening.
We have, for the last few weeks in our study in the book of Matthew, been studying this last week of the Lord Jesus' life and of his ministry here on this earth. And as Jesus is making his way that direction, he comes to this place that's called Bethany. And Bethany was a place where Jesus would go when he wanted to get away. It was a place where he would go because he knew that there was the presence of people who loved him, who cared for him. There is not a lot that we know about Bethany, but we do know a few things about this place called Bethany. In verse number 6 of Matthew 26, and now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, what we know is that this place was a place owned by a man by the name of Simon. I think it's probably fair to say that he is someone who is no longer a leper. We would know that because so many people are in Simon's house. We know that because Simon himself is in his house. And if he still had the disease of leprosy, he would not have been allowed to be even in his home. So Christ comes to the house of Simon, the former leper. In a matter of just a few days from here, Jesus will be arrested. He will be scourged. He will be flogged. He will be killed. He will be hung upon a cross. But in these few moments, he's in the presence of people who love him, who appreciate him, who are grateful for him, and who are, at least one of them, who are worshiping him. Her name is Mary. The Bible says, verse number 7, and there came to him a woman. John 12 teaches us that it is Mary. He came to him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. In John chapter 12, where John tells the very same story, it says that she took this alabaster box, this very expensive, very precious ointment, and she anointed his head, and she also anointed his feet. Mary takes this very expensive box, this very expensive perfume, and she takes all of it and she empties it all onto the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this ointment, this alabaster box, this perfume would have been something that was worth a lot of money. In fact, John says that the price of it was about a year's salary. The cost of this alabaster box would have been a year of you and me going to work. Think of giving something to the Lord that cost you a year's worth of work. Man, maybe for you that's $50,000. Maybe for you that's $75,000. Maybe for some of you that's, man, $150,000. Me and you need to be friends later. She takes something that's worth a year's salary. Now, I want you to think of this. How long would it take you to save a year's salary? It would take you a long time. Because inside of that year, you would have spent that on, man, groceries and resources, clothing, man, housing. But she's been saving this alabaster box. She's been saving this perfume for quite some time. And she takes the contents of this perfume and she does not just crack it open so that the aroma fills the air. And this would have been the tradition that they would have taken this box, this ointment, and she would have just lifted the lid off of it for a few seconds so that the aroma, man, that it would have filled the room. And then she would have put the lid back on, man, saving, preserving, man, what was of so value for her. But instead of just taking the lid off of the box, she takes the entire box and she breaks it open and she pours it onto the Lord Jesus Christ. And she does this, the Bible says, as a way of preparing his body for burial. She does this as a way because she evidently knows what no one else in the room knows. She knows that the Lord Jesus Christ, in just a few days from here, will be hung on a cross and will die the death that she and that we deserve. So as a way of her thankfulness to God, as a way of her appreciation to the Lord Jesus Christ, in a way in which her heart was full of gratitude, she takes this alabaster box and she pours it onto the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that moment? And as soon as she does this, something bad happens. How many of you know when you try to do something good for God, man, the devil always has his agents. Man, as soon as she does something good for God, opens the box, pours it out onto the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that the scene is changing because of verse number 8, but. Man, she did something good, and everyone should have been rejoicing and applauding and praising, but. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? You have an outline so you can follow along with us. I want to give you three things about what this woman did and about what we should do. Number one, notice with me the world's attack on worship. The world's attack on worship. How many of you have ever met someone who has the spiritual gift of discouragement? Let me see. They think a fruit of the Spirit is grumpiness. You ever met somebody like that? How many of you are sitting next to that person? No, don't raise your hand if you're sitting next to them. But that was the disciples. In particular, John 12 teaches us that this is Judas. It is Judas who watches what Mary does with this alabaster box, this thing that was worth so much money. Judas watches this, and he is filled with indignation about it, and he says, this is such a waste. Mary has done something good. Mary has done something beautiful. Mary is worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ because she, unlike anyone else around her, understands that Jesus, in a few days from now, will be arrested, he will be crucified, he will be flogged, and he will be buried in a grave. And so Mary, in one act, in one moment, takes all that she holds dear and precious, and she opens it and pours it out onto the Lord Jesus Christ. And while she is giving Jesus her everything, Judas is doing nothing but criticizing. While she is pouring out to Jesus everything she has, Judas is criticizing all that Mary has done. Hey, understand this. Anyone on that day could have worshiped the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone on that day should have worshiped the Lord Jesus Christ, but only one did worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, anyone could have. Everyone should have, but only one did. And this gives us what the world sees as worship. To the world, worship is a waste. This is what he says in verse number 11. The disciples saw it. Judas saw it. And he says, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment, this very expensive perfume, might have been sold for much and given to the poor. Well, doesn't that sound spiritual? I mean, what a waste. Man, this kind of worship has never fed one hungry person. This kind of worship has never changed one law of the land. This kind of worship has never put one person in the pew. To what purpose is this kind of worship? It's just a waste. And in John chapter 12, John teaches us that Judas says this, not because Judas is spiritual, but in fact, because Judas is a thief. Beware of people who sound spiritual but actually aren't. Beware of people who sound spiritual but actually aren't spiritual at all. Judas does not care about the poor. He only cares about his pocket. Judas does not care about helping those in need. He only cares about helping himself so that he has no need whatsoever. He gives the impression that he loves God, but in fact, he is far from God. To the world, worship is a waste. It's ironic because in John's gospel, Judas is given a surname, Judas the son of perdition. The word perdition literally means wasted. Wasted. Judas is saying to Mary, this worship is wasted. And it's almost as if, man, by the time Judas's life comes to an end, man, it's come full circle. And Jesus says about him, you are the son of perdition. Judas, you are the one who is wasting your life because you were created for worship. You've been given life and breath and opportunity to worship, but instead of worshiping your Creator with your life, you have wasted your life and you have wasted the opportunities to worship your Creator. Man, to the world, worship is waste, but to the Lord, worship is wanted. Listen to what Jesus says. Verse number 10, and Jesus understood it, and he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? She hath wrought a good work on me. Man, to the world, worship is waste. But to the Lord, that's letter B, to the Lord, worship is wanted. John chapter 4, the Father seeketh such as to worship him. When we sing to the Lord, we worship the Lord. When we come to church to worship the Lord. Man, when we witness about how good our God is, we are worshiping the Lord. And when we give as a way of worshiping to the Lord. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. But verse number 10, it says, why trouble ye this woman? For she hath wrought a good work. You should take note of that word, work. Our work can be worship to our God. When we work by way of singing, that's worship. When we work by way of giving, that's worship. When we work by way of witnessing, that is worship. And by the way, when we go to work, our actual physical job, our real work, when we do that work, we do not do it for ourselves. We do not do it with eye service as men pleasers. Man, we go to work and we give our very best at our work, not for ourselves, but for our God. Man, and when we work like that at the office, that is worship to our God. And whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. And God gets the glory when we work that way for Him, because our work, man, we're not just changing tires. We're not just flipping hamburgers. We're not just fixing a car. We're not just checking in at the office. Man, we are worshiping our God by way of working. Man, to the Lord, worship is wanted. To the Lord, worship is wanted. It's interesting. We'll see this in a couple weeks, but Mary's entire life on the pages of Scripture, Mary's entire life, she is at the feet of Jesus. Mary's entire life, she's at the feet of Jesus. She is probably the woman who is drugged to His feet, caught in sin. She is the woman who comes and sits at Jesus' feet when Martha is in the kitchen working. She is the woman who now here takes this alabaster box and pours it out onto the Lord Jesus Christ. And even at the end of the Lord Jesus' life, as Jesus is on the cross, do you know who is standing at His feet? Mary. Mary, in her entire life on the pages of Scripture, Mary is this woman who is constantly at the feet of Jesus. No wonder she wants to work for Jesus. Because when you spend that kind of time with the Lord Jesus Christ, when you spend that kind of time in God's Word, it produces in you a spirit that wants to worship God. If we only work but never worship, we will be burnt out. If we only work but never worship, we will wear ourselves out. Man, but those who work by way of worship, man, those are the ones that the Lord says, I am well pleased in you with you. That is the kind of person that the Father is looking for. He is looking for someone who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Let's be honest this morning. How many of you have ever ran out of gas on the road? Can I see? You be honest, you ran out of gas on the road. I've done that before. Why is it you always run out of gas at like the middle of the night or in a dangerous part of town? Why is it that always happens that way, right? Man, we run out of gas. Why? Man, typically we run out of gas because we're so distracted we forgot to stop and get gas. And the engine goes, put, 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 put. And then you remember, oh, I was supposed to put gas in the car. I generally run out of gas because Amanda runs my car empty on gas and then she gives me the keys. It's a blessing. And sometimes we get so busy, we get so distracted that we do not fill up. And you know what worship is? It's filling up. Do you know what church on Sunday morning is? It's filling up. Man, it's gathering together with God's people and being reminded of all that God has done for us. And it gets us ready to face the rest of the week. Man, worship without work, man, the world says that's wasted. But listen, work without worship will wear us out. Because the fuel for the Christian life is your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, the world's attack on worship. Number two, the word's approval of worship. Jesus says, she hath wrought a good work upon me. What the world called wasted, Jesus called beautiful. What the world said, man, that's wasteful. Jesus says, no, that is actually wonderful. Man, listen, anything done for Christ, everything done for Christ will last. Nothing is wasted that is done for God and for good. Nothing is wasted that is done for God and for good. Man, no money given to God is wasted. No time given to God is wasted. No day given to the Lord is a wasted day. No service done for God is a wasted service. Anything done for God is good. Amen. Hey, when we worship Him, a couple things. When we worship Him, it blesses Him. Look at verse number 12. You still have your Bible open? Look at verse number 12. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Hey, notice this. She did not do this for her. She did this for him. Jesus says, listen, she anointed me, and in anointing me, she is not doing this for her. She's doing this for me. When we worship the Lord, it blesses the Lord. Man, isn't that amazing? That something that you and I do today might bless the Lord. Man, it's possible for the way that we live, the way that we sing, the way that we work, the way that we give, it is possible for us to work and sing and give and serve in such a way that it causes the heart of God to rejoice. Do you remember at Christmas time when you bought your wife or your husband or your kids that one thing that they really wanted and they don't know that you bought it for them? Man, you have it all wrapped up and you go to give it to them and you just can't wait. Open it, you're going to be so surprised. And they and it's fruitcake, right? And they really did. No. You know, oh, please open it. You're going to be so happy. And they open it. Oh, how did you know? That's what I all, oh, right? And you're so happy. Man, it's possible for us to give to the Lord, to serve the Lord, to sing to the Lord, to take time and work in a children's class, to usher in a service, to join the choir, to sit in the nursery, to invite a friend to Easter Sunday, to give a tithe, or to give an offering. It's possible for us to do this as a way of giving a gift to God so that God opens the gift and is well pleased in what we give to Him. Man, what do you give to someone who has everything? Man, what do you give to God who has everything? Here's what He wants. He wants your heart. He wants you. Mary takes all she has. She pours it out onto the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, it blessed the Lord. She did this for me. It caused the heart of God to rejoice in what Mary has done. Man, I wonder today, this month, this year, this coming decade, if what we give to God, First Baptist Church, if what we could give to God would bless the heart of God. I want our singing to bless God's heart. Hey, I want our serving as a church, I want it to bless God's heart. I want our Easter Sunday to bless the heart of God. Man, it's always good when people go out the back door. Hey, that blessed my heart, Pastor. Hey, that's wonderful. But I want to bless the heart of God, don't you? Man, it's a way for us to take advantage of the opportunity given to us. Man, it blesses the Lord. Number two, it blesses the worshiper. It blesses the worshiper. How many of you know John chapter 12 teaches us that Mary took her hair and she washed the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ with this ointment. Man, with her hair. Man, the rest of the day, the rest of the week, the rest of the month, every time Mary smelled her hair, man, it was a reminder of how she served the Lord. Man, it blessed her. Hey, who you hang around rubs off on you. Evil communication corrupts good manners. You hang around somebody cranky, guess what you will be before long? It won't be happy. You hang around a grumpy person, guess what you become? Grumpy. Man, you hang around somebody who's worshiping God, guess what it rubs off on you? Man, that desire to worship God Almighty. I love watching our choir sing. I love our men standing here in the middle. It's a good thing when you hear men sing for God. There's not a lot of good men in this world, but we have some great men in our church, don't we? It's a good thing to watch them sing. Man, they close their eyes. They rear back. They just let it out. They're way off note, but they just let it out. Man, I sit down in the front row, and you know what that makes me do? Man, it makes me sing with them. That's why we have, that's why we put the words on the screen. I told Michael and Raphael, I said, put the words on the screen because I'm trying to sing with the choir, but I don't know what they're singing. So I'm just going, yeah, Jesus, amen, Jesus. Yeah, I don't even know what I'm singing. But I want to sing with them. Why? Because I love the way they sing out for God and good. Man, I walked into the building today. No one was here, just the janitors. I walked into the building today. Man, most of the lights were off. I heard Brother Eli all the way down the hallway. Man, he was, amazing grace. My boys looked at me and said, what is that? I don't know, where's Brother Eli? There he is. I said, that's Brother Eli singing. Let's sing with him. Amazing. We sounded terrible in the hallway. You just amen, I sounded terrible? Don't forget who you work for. Man, you hang around somebody who worships the Lord, guess what that makes you want to do? You want to worship the Lord. Man, it blessed the Lord. Her offering blessed the Lord. Her offering blessed her. Hey, her offering blessed her home. And the Bible says that fragrance, it went up into the air and it filled the room, John chapter 12. Hey, have problems at your house? I got an idea for you. Start worshiping the Lord. You keep fighting in your home? I got an idea for you. Start worshiping the Lord in your home. Man, just turn on some good Christian music. Just turn it all the way up, man, and let that music, that aroma fill the air. Just get the Bible out and start reading it. Before we eat lunch, let me read a portion of Scripture to you. Man, don't make it Psalms 19, the longest chapter in the Bible. Lunch will get cold by then. But man, open the Word of God. Spend time worshiping God. And I promise you, man, the atmosphere in your home will change. Man, it blessed the Lord. It blessed the worshiper. It blesses our home. Listen, it blesses the world. I mean, look at this. Look what Jesus says, verse number 13. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial for her. Think of this. This little lady who has very little. This little lady who has very little. She impacted the world. The footprint of her worship impacted the entire world. Here we are, thousands of years removed. And do you know who we're talking about? We're talking about what she did for God 2,000 years ago. Hey, our worship can bless the whole world. Man, our singing, our giving, our serving, our service to the Lord, man, our worship, our attendance, man, our singing out, it has a way of impacting the whole world for God and for good. Man, here we are 2,000 years later in Long Beach, California, United States of America, and we're talking about what this lady did on the other side of the globe thousands of years ago. Man, it has a way of blessing the whole world. I don't know that anybody served or worshiped the Lord any better than this lady did in all the pages of Scripture. You know, I find that really interesting because all over the pages of Scripture, men of importance, men of prominence, men who have position and power, man, all these men wander onto the pages of Scripture. And isn't it interesting? Jesus doesn't talk about those men at all. Jesus talks about this one little lady who has very little comparatively, but this one little lady worshiped the Lord with all she had. And Jesus says, she will be remembered in the whole world. Hey, you're never too insignificant for God. You're never too small for God. Nothing done for God is too small, too little. Well, Pastor, I don't have much, but I have a little. Hey, that's all the Lord needs. He just wants, hey, listen, the Lord just wants your heart. Man, it blessed the whole world. Man, last one. Can I give you this last one? We'll be done tonight. Last one. The wonderful act of worship. You know what I love about this whole story? You know what I love about this whole story? Jesus runs to Mary's defense. Mary doesn't stand up and go, "Why are you talking about me?" Now, you ladies know how to whip that neck back and forth like that, right? Oh, no, you did. She didn't get up and say that. Mary doesn't even acknowledge it. Mary is so captivated by the presence of Jesus. Her heart is so tied in to worshiping the Lord. She doesn't even hear what anybody else says. And if she did hear it, she doesn't care. I love that. I love that Mary is so in tune with worshiping God, she just ignores everybody else. Isn't it interesting? Mary, who is giving God everything, is ignoring everyone else. But Judas, who is giving God nothing, man, he can't focus on anyone except those people who are worshiping him. Mary, who is giving God everything, is focusing on no one. Peter, or Judas, who is giving God nothing, is focused on everyone. What's she doing, and what they're doing, and what about that, and how about them? And did you see that? I can't even believe Pastor would snap his fingers like that. Man, she is encaptured. She is enraptured in the Lord. Judas can do nothing but criticize, grumble, complain. Mary doesn't even listen to him. All she can do is worship God Almighty. Hey, it's a good thing when you learn to worship God like that. I don't care what anybody else says or thinks or looks at. I don't care what anybody else thinks around me. Man, I'm here to worship God Almighty. This is between my soul and my Savior. This is me and my God. And man, it's an amazing thing in worship when everybody else goes away and it's just you and God. It would be good for some of us to get our eyes off of the people around us and get our eyes on the God who saved us. You say, Pastor, we're church folk. I know, that's why I'm talking to you about it. This is a wonderful act of worship, Mary taking all she has, breaking it open and pouring it to the Lord. But how many of you know this wonderful act of worship that Mary does for the Lord is only because this is what Jesus did for her? Mary broke open a bottle of perfume that cost her a year's salary. Jesus broke open his entire life for Mary. Mary gave Jesus a one-time offering. Jesus gave Mary his infinite, eternal life. Mary broke a box for Jesus. Jesus allowed his body to be broken for her. Mary poured out perfume. Jesus poured out his very life's blood for Mary. I mean, Jesus gave his all for Mary. And Mary stands. This is not the last time that Mary is at the feet of Jesus. Mary stands at the feet of Jesus. Those very same feet that they took a nail and drove that nail through as they mounted him to a cross. And as she stood there eye level with the feet, and as that wind must have whipped her hair to her face, I wonder if she caught whiff of the aroma that she had poured out onto him. Hey, any giving that we do to God, any serving that we give to God, is not because we in and of ourselves are good or are great. Any serving or giving that we do to God is only because we understand God gave us his Son. We do not give offerings to God to buy our way out of hell. We give offerings to God because God offered His Son on the cross for us as our way of escape. And we understand what He gave to us, and that causes in us a desire to give to Him. We do not work for God so that we do not have to go to hell. We work for God because God sent His Son to do salvation, redemption work for us on the cross. And God did for you, God did for me what we could never do on our own. No amount of good works, no amount of offering, no amount of perfume can get you out of hell. The only way of escape is through belief on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's the only way of escape. And so we bring offerings to church, and we bring singing to church, and we bring work to church, and we break it open and we give it to the Lord, not so that God will be happy with us, but because we know that God already sent His Son to die in our place. And we give to Him out of a heart that is grateful for all that He's given to us. Hey, this tells us of His gospel. Letter B, this tells us of His goodness. Here's what He says. This will be preached. Mary preached a greater sermon than I could have ever hoped to preach. And she never said a word. Mary preached a better sermon than I could ever hope to preach, and she never said a word. Hey, our giving, our serving, do you know what it is? It's a sermon. Everything in your life is a sermon about how good and great our God really is, and how much He has done, and how we only desire to give back to Him for all that He's done for us. And that kind of news, friend, that kind of news demands a response. And that's what we have here. There's several ways that you can respond to that kind of news. I mean, number one, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, today, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If you're here this morning, you do not know Christ as your Savior, in just a few moments, our pastors are going to come. They're going to stand here at the front. We're all going to stand. We're going to have a song of invitation. And I want to invite you to meet me right here at the center, or meet one of our pastors over toward the side. And let us take the Bible and show you from the Bible how you can know heaven is your home. Doesn't matter what a church says. Doesn't matter what a pastor says. What matters is, what does God say about your eternal future? What does God say about having your sins forgiven? That's one way to respond. And another way to respond is to decide, man, when the church gets together to worship God, I'm going to be in church. I'm going to be faithful to worship the Lord every week. I mean, that's another way to respond. Another way to respond, which is what we gather together for this morning, is by way of giving. I want to talk to you about giving for a second. I want to talk to you about giving. If you're visiting today, here's what I do not want from you. I do not want for you to go, I knew it. This was a trick. The pastor's just after my money. If you're visiting with us, all we want from you is a visitor card so we can come by and nag you. That's it. I'm talking to the members of First Baptist Church this morning. In the very beginning of the year, man, we put forward, man, our plan of attack for the new year. Things we wanted to see accomplished, things we wanted to see done in and around our campus, here, in and at our church. That's what today is. Today's the day we bring that offering to the Lord. There's a couple ways that you can help give. And the first way, if you are not tithing, make the commitment today to start tithing. A tithe literally means a tenth. A tenth. A tenth of what we make, we give to the Lord. Man, as a way of saying, God, thank you for the job. Thank you for the resources. Thank you for the money that you've given to me. And this tithe I'm giving to you as a reflection of what you've done for me. And this tithe is used to help us operate here at the church. This tithe is used to help us pay the bills, help us keep the janitors employed, help us keep the lights on, help us do all these different things at the church, help us run buses and gas them up and do all these things. This is a needful thing for us. The tithe ought to be brought. If you are not, if you are a member of this church and you are not tithing, my encouragement to you today is make the decision right now to start tithing to the Lord. If you want a longer conversation about that, you can talk with me or any of our pastors or deacons. We'd love to help show you from the Word of God where tithing comes from. Man, there's other ways to give. Man, we could give to, you can give to missionaries. We do that. We give to missionaries. Just this past week, we took a missionary man on who's doing a great work in the Philippines. Man, I'm excited, man, to partner with Pastor Richard over here. He stopped by my office earlier today. He was telling me about the needs they have in Manila. I want to be a blessing to them. How many of you, we want to be a blessing to these men who are serving God in these parts of the world? Man, start giving to missions. Man, another way you could do it, just spontaneous giving. Spontaneous giving. And just bring some cash in your pocket to church because you never know when God might come and knock on your heart and say, that person has a need. Reach into your pocket and meet their need. Anybody under 30, you don't have cash, you can buy, give by way of text, okay? We even have that mode of giving. Do you know why? Do you know why Mary can give of her alabaster box? Here's why. Because she had an alabaster box. Had she been wasteful, had she not saved, had she not been careful to put it aside, you understand, she wouldn't have had, there's an Old Testament principle, when they would harvest their field, they would not cut the corners of their field, they would let them grow. They would let the corners of the field grow high just in case somebody walked by with a need. They could go, you know what? I have some grain in my field and I want you to take of this grain and you use it. And I on purpose left it there just in case somebody came by with a need. Mary can give of the alabaster box because she has an alabaster box. Someone can give of the corner of their field because they have a corner of their field that they have not. They have not spent already. This is why it's good for us to plan and budget. This is why it's good for us not to just rush into purchases. Why? Man, because the new car might be nice, but could we get a little bit older of a car and save the money that we would have made between a brand new car and a five-year-old car, and let's take that money and use that money for God and for good. It's spontaneous giving. Well, there's another way to give. Another way to give is by way of commitment, and that's what this card is. You have this in your handout this morning. I want everybody to look at this card right here. Everybody get it out and look at it right here. I'm waiting for you to get it out. So if you're still looking at me, you're not getting it out, all right? If you want to hurry up and get to lunch, get that card out.